I just thought it was beautiful to look at and had a well-honed, worn look and a patina that made me feel that it was used and used again and again. It is a fundamental act both of cooking and living with a family and passing on, at least in India. When I left India, which was a long, long time ago, my mother gave me certain utensils to take with me, and they were all heavy. I remember that. There was a wok, a grinding stone, and a huge mortar and pestle. So those are what I left with, and I have all of them, and I use my mortar and pestle to this day.
Other stone pestles and mortars have also been found in New Guinea, and what they show is that there were ancient farmers growing crops in the tropical forests and grasslands here around 10,000 years ago. This relatively recent discovery has upset the conventional view that farming began in the Middle East, in what's called the Fertile Crescent, and from there spread across the world. We now know that, in fact, this particular bit of the history of humanity happened simultaneously in many different places. Clearly, a lot of us became farmers at the same time. And wherever people were farming, they began to concentrate on a small number of plants, selectively harvesting these from the wild, planting and tending them. In the Middle East, they chose particular grasses, early forms of wheat. In China, wild dry rice. In Africa, sorghum, a grain that looks a bit like grass. And in Papua New Guinea, the starchy tuber taro. For me, the most surprising thing about these new plants is that in their natural state, you very often can't eat them at all, or at least they taste pretty filthy if you do. Why would you choose to grow food that you can eat only once it's been soaked or boiled or ground to make it edible at all? Martin Jones, professor of archaeological science, sees this alchemy of food as an essential part of human evolution.
As the human species expanded across the globe, we had to have a competitive edge over other animals going for the easy food.